We've been looking at and reviewing a very helpful little book. This book by J.C. Ryle is entitled Holiness and Its Roots. Holiness and Its Roots. And we're going to look at the subject of assurance today. And we will see how assurance is connected to holiness. Let's open to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll read just verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is Paul. For now I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. The apostle is looking in three directions. He's looking down to the grave, and he's saying, my time and my departure is at hand. And he's looking back as well over his labor, over his ministry. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my race. I have covered the ground that was assigned to me. And then he's looking forward to meeting the Lord, the righteous judge, where there's a crown that is laid up for him. But not only him, for all of us who love his appearing. J.C. Ryle notes that the person who can stand where Paul stood and look and say what he said is truly blessed. He looked down. What did he say? There was absolutely no fear, absolutely no dread. He had no fear. He said, my departure is at hand. Every preparation has been made. I'm ready to be poured out. How solemn and chilling the grave is. And yet, an ordinary man like Paul, like you and I, he can look at the house that's the grave that's appointed for every one of us. We'll go there. And he can say, I'm not afraid. I had absolutely no fear. And then, looking over his life, looking back over his life, in his service to the King of Kings, there's no dread, or there's no fear, or there's no worry. He can say, I have fought the good fight. I've run the race, and I've covered the ground and finished the race. I've not only run the race, I've finished the race. And he didn't give up. No matter how difficult it was, no matter what obstacles he had to endure, he says, I have kept the faith. I've been faithful with the gospel. We have to also understand that this faithfulness is, it involves this. I have not mingled the pure gospel with man's traditions and thoughts. I've not spoiled its simplicity by adding my own inventions and my own ideas, nor have I allowed anyone to adulterate the gospel. I've withstood those that were trying to adulterate the gospel. I've withstood them to their face. I've been bold. How rewarding and how happy is the believer who can say this, who can say like Paul, the apostle said, I've been a faithful steward. I've been a good soldier. I've been a good farmer. I put my hand to the plow and I have not looked back. And then looking forward, he looks to that great day of reckoning without the slightest concern, without the slightest worry. He has no doubt. He says, henceforth, is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not only to me, but unto all them also that love his appearing. A glorious reward, he seems to say. It's laid up for me. It's stored up for me. He speaks without hesitation. He speaks with certainty. There's no doubt. He has persuasion, firm persuasion, that there is awaiting a reward for him. He has assurance that there is a reward for him. He's not afraid that the books will be opened and revealing all his secrets, all the wrong things that he'd done. His confidence is in his advocate, in the Lord Jesus Christ. His confidence is in the blood that has forgiven him and cleansed him and made him whole. A crown, he said, the Lord will give it to me. What a strong assurance. What bold confidence he has. Now, we need to note that it is scriptural to have this kind of confidence. It is scriptural to have assurance and hope like the apostle had. There is a close connection between holiness and assurance like the apostle had. We note that when a life is well lived, a life that has been righteous, a life that has been holy, when a life is pleasing to the Father, normally that one has got much assurance. Isaiah 32, 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The righteous are the ones who are the most assured. Living and keeping God's ways, receiving what he's done for us, will result in holy living and will give birth to quietness and assurance. The work of righteousness, it's his work, not our work. We must not see it as something that we have to do. The Lord is the one who brought forth our righteousness. The Lord is the one who has imputed righteousness unto us. The righteous can say, I shall not be afraid of evil tidings. My heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. But the unrighteous can never say this. The unrighteous and unholy person, every circumstance, every storm of life tosses them about. They are unstable. As Isaiah 57 and verse 21, it reminds us, there is no peace, saith my God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the unrighteous. They have no share in the peace that is made by the blood of Jesus. They have no confidence in the presence of God. Their conscience condemns them. The unrighteous feel condemned. They have no peace. Beloved, the scripture in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Those that are doers of God's word have great peace. Those that accept God's word, believe God's word, trust God's word, have calm assurance. There is a connection between holiness and assurance. Those that love truth have assurance. What do the scriptures say? What do the men of old say, like Job and David and Isaiah? Well, does Job not say, I know He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. So Job had confidence. He had assurance. He trusted the Lord. David said, King David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are my rod and my staff, and they comfort me. Does Isaiah not say, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee? Even Paul, in our scripture, he says to Timothy, I know in whom I have believed. I am persuaded that he is able to keep me and keep that which I have committed unto him. What a strong assurance all these men had. They were extremely humble men. They were lowly-minded men. If ever they were lowly-minded men, these men were lowly-minded. They did not have big opinions of themselves. They were humble. And all of these men speak of their own state of assured hope. They are fully persuaded. This shows us that deep humility and assurance are perfectly compatible. It's not proud to say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see, why is it not boastful? Our assurance is built upon the Lord, not on what we have done. It's built on the infallibility of the Scripture, the eternal promises, the unchanging Lord, who is our mediator. We have confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves. Paul wrote of himself. He described himself as the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. He had a deep sense of his own guilt and his own corruption, but he had an even greater sense of the length and the breadth and the depth of Christ's righteousness that was imputed unto him. Paul, who would cry out, wretched man that I am, he had a clear view of the fountain of evil in his own heart, but he had a clearer view of that fountain that could remove all sin and all uncleanliness. He thought himself far less than all the saints. He had a lively feeling of his own weakness. He was aware of his own weakness, but he had an even stronger feeling of Christ's promises. My sheep shall never perish. Paul knew that he was frail. He knew that he was tossed, floating upon a stormy ocean, rolling and crashing waves were all around him. But he was not afraid. He saw Jesus, and he was not afraid. He remembered the anchor within the veil, and he was sure and steadfast. We as modern-day believers, we may say, I feel that I'm only a poor, fallible child of Adam myself, but these passages that we've just quoted, we see that there is something more than just mere hope. Mere, well, I hope so. I trust. I sincerely wish. So many believers are like that. I remember asking somebody, are you a Christian? And they said to me, I hope so. They didn't know. They had no assurance. And so many believers in these days, they don't have, we don't see the language of persuasion, confidence, and knowledge a language of certainty. And if we take these scriptures in their plain and their obvious meaning, the doctrine of assurance is true. Any believer that has assurance is not resting on anything that they have done for themselves, but resting on what Christ has done for them. For example, we have assurance to go to the throne of grace. Why do we have assurance? Because a new and a living way has been opened for us by the blood of Jesus. We didn't open the way. We have assurance because of what he has done. Only because he opened it. We who were far away from the Lord, we have been brought near. Not because we were so good in coming near, but because of his mercy and grace, he brought us near. He broke down the wall of partition. He initiated it. And another one, we overcome. Why do we say we overcome? Is it proud to say, I overcome? I'm an overcomer. We overcome only because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of his testimony. We can't overcome in our own strength. Our assurance is in the man, the God, Jesus Christ. Our assurance is in him. I like what is noted in this book. It says, assurance, after all, is no more than full-grown faith. Assurance is no more than full-grown faith, a strong faith that grips Christ's promises with both hands. A faith that argues like the good centurion, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. Those who know their Lord and walk uprightly are more confident than those who are doubting. They are the assured ones. Let me just add in this. Let no one make a mistake and in what I'm meaning when I'm dwelling strongly on the reality of assurance and this privilege and importance of assurance. I'm not saying that unless you have strong assurance like the Apostle Paul, then you're not saved. It is only by faith in Jesus Christ that we are saved. Only by faith we have access to the throne of God. Only because I've placed my faith in the finished work of the cross are my sins washed away. Only because I've looked to Jesus, he has shown mercy to me. I'm saved even if my faith is small and feeble. My hope is not in my faith. My hope is in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simple faith in Christ will save the believer, but he may not attain assurance. One who has simple faith may arrive in heaven on that final day, not having had much confidence on the journey. One may arrive in heaven having been tossed and thrown by every wave of the sea and every storm of life, weather-beaten. They will arrive, hardly realizing how they got there. And when they open their eyes in heaven, they will realize, the Lord was with me even in those storms. He was with me. We must remember this. Sanctification has degrees, but justification is final and it is fully accomplished. God hasn't forgiven just some of our sins. He has forgiven all of our sins. He has washed us whiter than the snow. He has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. I remember into the sea of forgetfulness. He remembers them no more. So our sin, we are justified, we are pardoned, not in degrees, we are fully pardoned. We are, but our holiness, our separation unto him, our consecration unto him is in degrees. We must remember, let us remember, faith is the root. Assurance is the flower. Faith is the root. Assurance is the flower. Beyond question, there can be no flower without a root. Impossible to have a flower without a root. But no less certain, you may have the root and no flower. Faith is, let me show you some scriptures. Faith is the poor trembling woman who came up behind Jesus in the press of the crowd and touched his garment. She was trembling, she was afraid, but she had faith. Assurance is different. Assurance is Stephen standing calmly in the midst of his murderers and saying, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Acts 7:56. Faith is the thief on the cross crying, Lord, remember me. Luke 23:42. Assurance is Job sitting in the dust, covered with sores, saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 19:25 and Job 13:15. Faith is the anxious, trembling voice. Lord, I believe. Help me in mine unbelief. Assurance is the confident challenge that the apostle says, who shall lay anything against God's elect? He's bold. Who is it that condemneth? And lastly, faith is the, in this little paragraph, lastly in the paragraph, faith is Peter's drowning cry. As he began to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Save me. Matthew 14:30. Assurance is the same Peter declaring before the council afterwards, this is the stone which the builders rejected, which has become the chief cornerstone. There is no salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you may be saved. He's bold. There is an assurance. What I'm pointing out is it's not a question of peace or no peace. It's not a question of saved or not saved. Let me say peace or no peace. It's a question of great peace or little peace. Great peace or little peace. Some believers have great peace. Other believers have little peace, little assurance. Who are the ones that walk in the greatest peace? Who are the ones that are the strongest and walk in the greatest privileges? Isn't it the ones that are the most consecrated, the most set aside, the most committed? You could say that the most holy people are the ones who have the most peace, are the most settled believers, the most confident believers, the most fully persuaded believers. The ones that desire holiness, are they not the ones that shall see the Lord? Blessed are they that believe. They are safe. They are washed. They are justified. They are beyond the power of hell and Satan. no one shall pluck them out of God's hand. But he who has assurance is even better off. They that have assurance are even better off. They see a greater depth. They feel more of God's hand upon them. They know more of the Holy Scriptures. They enjoy more of the provision of the Lord. They have days as spoken in the book of Deuteronomy, even the days of heaven upon earth. That's Deuteronomy 11:21. A believer who lacks this assured hope, a believer who lacks assurance, who cannot say with confidence, I know that my Redeemer liveth, who cannot say, I know there is a crown, will spend much of their time in inward searchings about their own state, like a nervous hypochondriac who's always running to the doctor. Doctor, I think I've got this sickness. Can you check me? Doctor, I think this is wrong. Can you check me? They're full of their own complaints. They're full of their own doubtings and questionings, of their own conflicts and corruptions. In short, they are often so taken up with this inward examination, this inward eternal battle, that they have little time or no time to do anything else for the Lord. I was thinking of a story that I read in the book, and I'll modify the story. Supposing there was two men in Nairobi, and a very kind man came to them and said, I'm going to give you two shambas in Tamau, in the most fertile land. Water will be provided. Everything is there that you need. I've done every legal requirement. The plots are in your name. Freehold, they belong to you forever. And they give the two men the title deed, and off they go to the shambas. And the one man, he's so happy, he begins with a jembe and he prepares the ground and he plants the seeds. But the other man, he's a bit worried. He says, I'm not sure this belongs to me. I'm going to go to the title deed office and I'm going to question this. And he spends 1 year visiting the office. Can you just check for me? Is this true? Is this really my title? Does this belong to me? Which of the two men will have the biggest harvest? I don't need to answer. You know that the one that believed and worked will be the one who is blessed. And many times we are like that. We are so internally examining, do I belong to the Lord? Have I done right? Are these promises for me? No, let us put our hand to the plow. Let us work for the kingdom. Let us be a believer that has assurance. The Lord is with me. The Lord is on my side. Doubts and fears have got the terrible power to spoil so much happiness in a true believer. When we come to assurance, instead of saying, I hope so, we will be able to say, I know in whom I have believed. My debt has been paid. I know that my great disease of sin and death has been healed. When we have assurance, we will be patient in tribulation. We will be calm in bereavements, unmoved in sorrow, not afraid of bad news. Our hearts will be fixed upon Christ. Assurance makes us feel like we've got something under our feet. We're not on sinking sand. We are founded upon the solid rock. We build our lives upon the rock. We feel the support and the help of a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. That friend is the Lord Jesus Christ, who will never forsake us, nor leave us. He shall be with us until we are home at the end. Assurance will help us in enduring even poverty, even lack, even struggling, because the man who has assurance, he knows that in heaven is waiting enduring treasure. Treasure that cannot be stolen. He may not have silver and gold upon this earth. Silver and gold, I may have none. But grace and glory are mine. These grace and glory can never grow wings and fly away. They are mine forever. Let us remember another thing. Assurance is to be desired because it tends to make a Christian a more decided Christian, a more committed Christian, a more zealous Christian, a Christian that runs with the finishing line in sight, that runs with all their might, a Christian that is able to say when it's all over, I have finished my race. Assurance always leads to a holy life. Think of this. He that has freely forgiven us, he that has forgiven us of so much sin, Luke 7:47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which were many, are forgiven, for she loved much. When we have many sins forgiven, we will love much. When we understand just how much the Lord has forgiven us, oh, we will love him much. We will give our all for him because he has given his all for us. And the one that understands that they are washed clean, they enjoy such a rich assurance. They are the ones that usually have a close walk with Christ. It's a faithful saying and worthy to be remembered by all believers. And I'll read the scripture to you, 1 John 3:3. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. The believer who follows the Lord most fully and aims at the highest levels or highest degrees of holiness will normally enjoy the highest levels of assurance and confidence and have the clearest persuasion of their own salvation. Let's draw to a close and pray this. Oh Lord, I do ask you that you would grant us to be purified and set aside and consecrated. Grant us to have assurance. Grant us to have strong convictions that our Redeemer liveth, that we are persuaded, Lord, that you are with us. Grant us, Lord, that we may run the race that's set before us. Grant us, Lord, to show diligence even unto the end. Oh, Lord, you've done so much for us. We are so thankful. Lord, help us to be people who seek your ways, separation, holiness, consecration, sanctification, close to you, that we may be effective believers. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.